what it is.
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Another episode of Hard Factor. It is Monday, March 18th. Our top stories for the day. Wes is going to do one about the New Zealand shooting fallout. People are getting egged.
Yeah, it's just a classic egging.
Yeah. Yeah. Great tease, baby.
Thank you.
Bringing it back. Mark's going to do one about an Italian sex party scandal.
Let's just say that Italian sex parties are everything you would think they'd be.
And so tan.
Yeah. And nice. More.
Gonna be juicy. All right, Pat's gonna do one about a woman who was sucked into her parents' grave.
Look, if you know me, I got two fears. One is jail. The other is my parents dying. Now I have a new fear.
Yeah, this
combination
sounds like a combo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's everything rolled up into one. And I'll take us through a lightning round of other headlines. Take it away, Wes.
All right, in the big news, viral video over the weekend, a New Zealand senator named Fraser Anning was the subject of a lot of well-deserved criticism for his anti-Muslim remarks following a massacre that killed 49 people at a mosque in Christchurch. Basically, this asshole said that Muslim immigration was to blame for the massacre.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is where 49 people were murdered.
Yeah. Yep, yep. So his exact tweet was, quote, "Does anyone still dispute the link between Muslim immigration and violence?" Question mark.
Hmm. Yeah. What does that mean?
So it was it was just the immigration and sheer presence of Muslims that was to blame, and not the white supremacists with micropenis who actually pulled the trigger. So solid logic there, Senator Anning.
Real quick, so we know Australia was a prison colony. Was New Zealand also a prison colony? It must have been, right?
It's an offshoot, I think.
Yeah, right. Must have been. Yeah, but it was also the Muslims.
Yeah. So his logic is basically like, I know when there's a candle in the room, it always lights starts a fire by itself. Not when someone just throws gasoline on it.
Right. Yeah, especially when built by a Muslim. But I mean, I agree with you. His logic
Muslim
at
candles,
his logic
so dangerous.
His logic at best is incredibly flawed, but it's kind of like women have to wear bras because men can't contain themselves,
right.
Type logic.
Yeah.
Which is just like otherwise they're going to get raped and stuff.
They've got them. We got it. Yeah. We got to suck on them.
There's too many white supremacists. Like,
Wes, if it was just rapists sucking on breasts,
yeah, it's a little worse.
We'd be fine.
But we got it.
Yeah. You know
he
what I mean.
Held me down.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay.
All right, so besides the public scrutiny, the senator was also subject to a classic gag, a good old-fashioned egging, by a 17-year-old who now calls himself Egg Boy.
He didn't do it before.
Yeah, self-monikered?
He might have knew he was going to do it and started up his Facebook page.
He pre-branded Egg Boy?
He spells it B-O-I, so Egg Boy.
Boy.
Yeah, exactly. Boy. So in the viral video, I'm sure you all have seen it. If you haven't, it's absolutely hilarious. You need to check it out. Basically, the senator is talking to reporters. The kid pulls his cell phone out to film this hilarious act and slams a raw egg on the senator's head from behind.
He's just standing right next to him.
Oh, yeah. He's standing. Yeah, there's
how did
no
he get
security.
That close?
Yeah. He was like within egging distance of he just put the egg and cracked it over his head. He didn't even really throw it.
No one,
it was pretty
no one saw the egg.
I liked his moves.
I have noticed that in foreign countries that you can get closer to politicians there than you can in the United States.
Well, not anymore in New Zealand, I guess. So the senator then, of course, assaults the minor back, punching him in the face before he's restrained.
Twice. Yeah. He hit him twice.
Yeah, exactly. But the senator is a real piece of shit. This isn't the first time he's been a racist piece of shit and has come under scrutiny. Apparently in August, he gave a speech in which he called for New Zealand to only allow whites to immigrate to the country. And he had a pretty unique title for his plan. It was called The Final Solution.
Jesus.
Ah, that was the working title for Hitler's
book. Final Solution.
The Final
That's
Solution.
That's not for real, is it?
No. It's for real.
Hitler's publisher was like, Final Solution is good, but I think my struggle is better.
Well,
how did this guy get elected?
Wasn't The Final Solution the
that's a
pseudonym
Nazi term.
For the Holocaust?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My
yes.
God.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
That's
so
bad.
The Prime Minister of New Zealand is taking the side of the teenager, saying, quote, the full force of the law should be applied to Senator Anning, and that his remarks were disgraceful. definitely were. A GoFundMe page that was set up for Egg Boy's legal fees and more eggs has raised over, literally it says
farm,
more eggs.
Farm fresh eggs, wait, organic
wait, wait,
eggs.
Wait, what?
It's literally says more eggs and legal fees. So holy it's raised over $41,000 so far of the $2,000 goal. And he's now a national hero. So good for you, Egg Boy. It was quite the move. And fuck that
Egg
center.
Boy. I mean,
yeah. So with Will... Will is the teen's real name, and he pledges to donate a majority of the money to the victims of the massacre and has zero regrets. So, wow.
Yeah, no, it was an act of protest, and honestly, like, we wouldn't be talking about it if he didn't egg him.
I'll tell you what, this guy is not getting reelected, that's for sure.
That's great.
Yeah, that, yeah, he did make a difference, but he's lucky he didn't get, like, shot. I don't know what the security is like in New Zealand and how many guns they have around, but if you egg a senator here, you're going to get shot.
Well, hold on. Our own Hard Factor Will lived in New Zealand for a while. Does this surprise you?
No, it's like much, you know, it's New Zealand's about the size of one United State. So it's not that big.
Not Texas.
Lots of land, so it's
not
like pretty
Texas
country
size
for the most part.
Yeah.
Like a Virginia size or like a.
Yeah, like that size of land. Or maybe it's like the size of land of like Colorado with like the amount of people of Louisiana about.
Word. So
there you go. That was fun.
Yeah. So in other news, New Zealand has vowed to ban all semi-automatic rifles following the massacre. So like the AR-15, which are commonly used in these types of, you know, killings.
As you were saying, it's the size of a state, so it's like 42 rifles.
Right. They're going to ask for both of them back.
Yeah. Apparently,
can we have both of those rifles back?
They're saying he did this in New Zealand because it's really easy. It was apparently really easy to buy guns in New Zealand prior to this.
Well, there's 12 of them. So
yeah. So
it's definitely like very country. You know, it's like farmers and stuff. So it makes sense that firearms would be easier to get there.
Yeah, very similar to the U.S. as far as their laws.
When you're born, you know all 72 people that own guns in New Zealand.
Yeah, so.
And you can hit them up.
Good for them. Of course, you know, gun control activists in America are wondering why we can't just do it here, but tad different over here.
Yeah, a little bit of a different situation.
Yeah. And that does it for that. Also, do not forget to buy your Unbreakable shirts from the Barstool store to support the victims and their families of this tragedy.
100% of the proceeds go to the victims, and the shirt's awesome.
Yeah.
So definitely buy it. You can find it everywhere. It's going to be on the front page of Barstool Sports.
Let's do it especially because we have this problem in our country all the fucking time, and the best thing we can do is support
absolutely
when this happens outside
of our
country.
I bought a shirt. I have a theory real quick before you get into the comments. Yeah. I think that Egg Boy works for egg lobbyists. It was a rough week for eggs. They got hammered with too much cholesterol again. Like every like they said, 18% chance higher for death, which I don't even know what that means. But eggs just got drugged through the mud this week in the media. So I think that Egg Boy was hired by egg lobbyists to make a scene and to make a scene on the biggest asshole in the world because they're like, you can get close to this guy. It's New Zealand. Bring an egg. Bring an egg and crack it over this dickhead's head, and Mark, eggs are going to be back, baby.
What did you have for breakfast this morning?
I always eat eggs.
All right, there you go.
It's butter.
I usually don't eat breakfast, but I didn't eat anything today. But that's all.
But yesterday, eggs.
Yesterday, eggs.
Yeah,
cook them in avocado oil. You'll be okay. So going to the internet, Gail Rath says, an egg being smashed into your head from behind would take you completely by surprise.
Yeah.
It definitely would. How was he to know it was an egg? The sound would have been alarming given recent events.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, this lady has clearly never been sucker punched. He knows he wasn't hit by anything but an egg because he was still not knocked out.
Yeah. I like how Will can identify that this woman has never taken a hit in her life.
No, definitely not.
She's like, she can't differentiate between a runny egg on her head or a bullet.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear. Pretty clear difference.
What is that, shell? Is that my skin or shell?
It does not sound like a fucking bullet when you get an egg hit
on you. No, sounds like a fucking egg.
Yeah.
So she says, of course, it's a self-defense response. The fact this person was filming this grossly offensive act is appalling. Shame on him.
He's 17.
This senator is a complete scumbag, but... Even so, you can't egg someone in the head and not immediately get into a fist fight with them.
It's not possible. That's a fight.
That's true.
It's a fight.
That's true.
100% of the time, it's a fight.
Yeah. He knew he was getting into it. Egg Boy knew. Egg Boy's hard, baby.
No regrets. Did hit Egg Boy twice, which I thought was interesting because he's 17. He slapped him once and then he looked him in the face and hit him again.
We had two friends in high school and one of them had this elaborate plan to egg someone in the head after school.
So bad.
He egged him after school in the head, and he didn't know if it was going to end up in a fight.
Of course it did.
It ended up in a fist fight. So he egged him in the back of the head and immediately just became a fist fight because that's what happens when you egg
someone. We learned that day, eggs equal fight.
Yeah.
So. All
right, we got to move on, though.
Oh, it's my turn. Okay, so Silvio Berlusconi is the former Italian prime minister former owner of powerhouse football club AC Milan and current billionaire media mogul. And he's an interesting guy. The 82-year-old businessman, whose nickname is Il Cavalieri, or the Knight, is currently on trial for paying a witness to give false testimony about his outrageous sex parties that he hosted all the
Loving
time.
Loving this story.
Outrageously fun.
Yeah, you think.
Italian sex parties.
What do you think he means by the night? You think he means like the night like a castle, or like the night like when it's dark out and people go to sex parties?
Well, there's a reason behind it, and I asked you, not to bring it up. But it's related to some judicial case he was a part of in Italy. I didn't have enough time to research.
Every time I have a sex party, I always cook Italian food, just because the best type of sex party is an Italian sex party.
The night, baby. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Italians know how to have sex parties, clearly. I didn't learn that much new on that one.
Shuck a lot of oysters.
Yes, shuck a lot of oysters.
But not only is he on trial for paying witnesses to keep their fucking mouths shut about his sex parties, but he's also on trial because of he had sex with an underage prostitute. Allegedly.
Oh. Okay.
Sex parties.
Uh-oh. Yes.
That's the problem. Right.
And she is given the moniker of Ruby the Heart Stealer. Her prostitute name was Ruby. Apparently, she was a young little heart stealer. And his sex parties were called Bunga Bunga parties.
Bunga.
Yeah.
First time I've ever heard that term.
Yeah. Italy, it's going around.
I hope it's not the last time I hear that term. You know
what I mean? Exactly.
Yeah, you want to hear it like, hey, Will, thanks for coming to this party. It's a Bunga Bunga, you in?
Yeah.
I've been waiting my whole life to get invited to a Bunga Bunga party.
Oh, shit. We all have. He's also in some more hot water now. So we talked about he's paying witnesses to shut up about his Bunga Bunga parties. He's fucking young girls. Most recently, a star witness in his trials showed up poisoned to death.
Ooh.
By a radioactive substance this past Saturday. So
was it Ruby?
Ruby is still stealing hearts.
That's not sexy.
33-year-old Amane Fadil, who was a star witness in the sex trial, passed away this past Saturday. Fadil was Moroccan, just like Ruby, and she was super hot and a super hot model because women were hot that were at these Bunga Bunga parties.
That's, well,
their average number was a 10, and there's a range of 10 to a 10.
You're averaging a 10?
Yeah, they were 10s only. And she actually got poisoned back in like late January, went to the hospital on January 29th with stomach aches, told her lawyer, I think I've been poisoned, and then passed away on like March 1st.
It's a little shady to tell your lawyer. You tell your mother or your girlfriend, I think I've been poisoned, not your lawyer.
Well, she had a lawyer because she was a star witness.
Ah, okay.
She was a star witness
of
the trial.
Thank you for bringing back.
You weren't paying attention.
I'm with you.
So the hospital ran a battery of tests while she was there for the month to see what was going on with her, like her stomach and stuff, but they couldn't figure it out, and she wasn't getting better. So they ended up just finally sending the samples off to a specialized laboratory in the town of Pavia, which is in northern Italy. And the results came back on March 6th, 5 days after she died, and lo and behold, she had some incredibly rare and incredibly radioactive substances in her stomach and in her system. Stuff that you can't just purchase anywhere.
Mm-mm.
Stuff that like heads of state can get their hands on and not many other people.
You got to be a former prime minister to get this drug.
Like the stuff from Mission Impossible 6 that they do an entire plot around.
Great movie, by the way. When they brought Simon Pegg in.
Anyways. She died on March 1st, but she was in headlines all the way back from 2012. That's how long the trial was going on. She gave detailed testimony about the going-ons at Berlusconi's orgiastic parties at his villa in Milan. So just like incredible parties.
It's the best adjective I've heard in 12 years.
Yeah, orgiastic is a Bunga Bunga orgiastic party.
How's your party?
Orgiastic.
I think I know what's going on here, though.
Okay, what you got?
I think he was trying to turn this chick into like a fembot, like from Austin Powers, you know?
Like the young one or the older one?
The one that has the radioactive chemicals. I think he's like doing experiments, like trying to make a Captain America of Moroccan sex women.
Nah, she just talked too much. She had to go.
Yeah, I think he liked. Yeah. It's that one. It's what Wes said.
Wes will always boil it down for you.
Yeah. No, he liked, and she was also way too old for him. He liked him younger. She was in her mid-30s, so he just killed her.
Oh.
She testified that the first time she went to one of these Bunga Bunga parties, she saw two young women in nun costumes stripping in front of the then prime minister and like just going down on him. Why the nuns?
Because nunneries started in Italy. Nuns started in Italy. That's like for us, it would be like if an RGB at a sex party.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
If that's not hot. That's
kind of.
So
are you
hot.
Into that? Like that's what you. That's the first thing you think of. Supreme Court justices.
What a great justice. Hold on. You're telling me that if a hot RGB came in and started
stripping
at the party.
I think you're thinking of cops. Like female prostitutes or strippers dressed as cops.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, I'm thinking not Supreme Court.
The bottom sector of the judicial system, not the top.
Like Marines.
But apparently he paid her $2,000 in cash, and he's like, I know this is your first party. This is like how it is. So just a lot of nuns go down on me. the whole thing is being dubbed the Ruby Gate scandal because of the aforementioned Ruby, a.k.a. Ruby the Heart Stealer, the underage prostitute whose real name is Karima El Maroug. I think I nailed that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and she is also Moroccan. She was 16, I think, when she first started sleeping with these people at the parties.
Yeah, she ended up at 17.
Yeah, and I thought we were talking the age of consent in Italy is a little bit lower.
It's 14.
But at sex That's parties, right. I guess it's 18.
I'm surprised it's that.
At international sex parties, maybe it's 18. Who
it's
knows?
18.
It's when she bleeds, she's ready.
That was a Geneva Convention.
Russian?
She's a
Russian
woman.
Italian?
She's a woman now.
She's a woman now. She's a bit of a woman now. Berlusconi is being investigated or prosecuted as well, as we mentioned, for witness tampering in Milan, Siena, Rome, and Turin.
Uh-oh.
So he had these fucking parties. He allegedly paid these people to keep their mouth shut afterwards. He had these parties, and he didn't have everyone wear masks, like in Eyes Wide Shut. He didn't have everyone sign papers saying shut your mouth, like which is the first prerequisite he should have had. And then he had to like go and find everyone he ever had at the parties and be like, do I have to pay you? Like, what's the deal?
I thought that the masks from Eyes Wide Shut were inspired by Italian sex parties. I thought that's where they came from.
I thought so, too.
Seemed like it, yeah. This guy fucked up by not having NDAs.
He also fucked up by having too many people there. He could have just had only chicks and himself.
That's no fun, Wes.
I guess
you want,
he
you
wants
want
male friends. He wants to look cool.
Yeah, you want to see Fair people. Enough.
And the woman who's testifying was a prostitute.
Yeah, right. When you're banging an underage prostitute, you want your buddies there to applaud you in Italy, not here.
Yeah. Well, we got to wrap this one up. Okay. One last fact on this guy. He was tried for tax fraud back in August 2013, a couple of years after he gave up the prime ministership or was gone, and he was convicted and sentenced to 4 years. But in Italy, if you're over 70, basically you just don't go to jail. So he just did community service.
Yeah.
This guy's that a real sense. Real pill. Yeah,
good to right, know.
So we're going to move through this story very quickly so we can get to the lightning round. So back in December of 2016, 64-year-old Joanne Cullen of North Belmore, Long Island, was visiting the graves of her bookkeeper mother, Evelyn, and her roofer father, John. She missed her parents, of course.
Good combo.
Yeah, they missed her. But
hardworking, smart.
Hardworking, smart.
Nice. Well, probably good parents.
No yelling
parents.
In that house.
No. But yeah, she missed them and they missed her, but they were dead. That's fucked up. And what was done was done. However, but when Our Lady Joanne Cullen bent down to fix the bow on the wreath by the headstones, she had no idea that her dead parents' longing to be with her would result in her being sucked into the netherworld.
What do you mean? Did they like a ghost, like a skeleton?
Well, here's what happened. So she bent down to fix a bow on a headstone, and the ground beneath her feet started to move as if the earth wanted to swallow her whole. So the earth sucked her into a sinkhole, and quote, it caused her to fall forward and smash her head on a tombstone, which cracked a tooth. As she attempted to bounce back, she continued to sink into the ground and grab the sides of the tombstone.
Holy shit.
That's terrifying. Shit. That's terrifying.
Yeah, at this point, Cullen was waist deep in her parents' graves. She cried out for help, but no one at the graveyard could hear her screams.
Holy shit.
Because the sun was setting on the cemetery, and much to her dead parents' chagrin, she was able to eventually pull herself out of early retirement, and that's when she lawyered up.
I would give so much money for that video.
So this is why we're covering this story.
And her screams.
Yeah.
Because Cullen just lawyered up and is now suing the St. Charles Resurrection Cemetery Administration's union to the tune of $5 million, alleging that the grave diggers who backfilled an adjacent grave to her parents left an underground void that caused her to reunite with her family early.
Wow. I'm not surprised. I'm actually surprised more sinkholes don't happen in cemeteries. They're big. All these
Can you imagine, though, going to visit your parents? They're next to each other, and you start getting sucked into the ground.
It would be the most terrifying thing ever.
Never go. I'd never step foot.
Or they'll get attacked by a shark.
That's worse.
Yeah.
Look, when asked for comment, Cullen said, quote, I will never go back there again.
I don't blame her.
Yeah.
Or any cemetery ever again.
Yeah, but that's the only one she has to go to.
No, you should probably get invited to funerals every now and then.
Her attorneys allege that she now fears walking in open fields and has, quote, nightmares and headaches.
Oh, that's a little
nightmares,
bit
I can believe.
Top, isn't it?
Yeah. The attorneys went on to give an obvious yet poignant commentary on the whole ordeal, saying, quote, getting sucked into your parents' grave when you go to visit them on a cool December afternoon with the sun going down is both terrifying and traumatizing. Yeah, no shit.
Maybe next time bring flowers, you know?
She did bring flowers, Mark. Okay, right. Let's take it to the internet real quick. Sortiana Paz says, quote, she should sue her parents for having died, for otherwise she wouldn't have had the accident.
So. I get the little joke there, the little commentary.
Okay, and then Red Avenger from Atlanta, Georgia says, it was just her parents trying to drag her down to hell to be with them.
That's not nice. That's not
she
very
really
nice.
Hates lawsuits.
Very mean.
All right, let's get to the lightning round, boys.
Yeah, let's do it. Before we get to the lightning round, let's take a minute to talk about Policy Genius. Do you ever look at yourself in the mirror and think, man, I either need to take better care of myself or I need to get a shitload of life insurance? I know I do, and that's why I went to Policy Genius. Getting life insurance can feel like assembling the world's worst jigsaw puzzle. It's confusing, it takes forever, and when you're finally done, all you did was put together a fucking jigsaw puzzle. But if you have anyone who depends on your income, it's a puzzle that you need to solve, and Policy Genius can help you do it. Policy Genius is the easiest way to get life insurance. In just 2 minutes online, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find the best policy for you. They also make it easy to find the right home insurance, auto insurance, or disability insurance. They're your one-stop shop for financial protection. So if you find life insurance puzzling, head to policygenius.com. In 2 minutes, you can compare quotes, find the right policy, and save up to 40% doing it. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance.
Living on the edge of a lightning bolt. Oh, yeah!
All right, so a weird weekend for Beto O'Rourke. He announced for the presidency last week he's going to run. And then, like we talked about on the Power Hour, it came out Friday from Reuters about his past as a, quote, hacktivist under the pseudonym Psychedelic Warlord.
Kind of a dope name.
Yeah, it is kind of a good name. Where he was generally nerdy and sometimes wrote about weird shit when he was 15.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
So that happens.
Nerdy as fuck.
Super nerdy, dude. So the nerdiest fucking thing ever.
But like, right, if you rule psychedelics, that's pretty cool.
Warlord.
Psychedelic warlord. He never did psychedelics, dude. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Not any hard ones. Anyways.
You'd be psychedelic peace pony.
Anyways, that was Friday. And then on Sunday, the official GOP Twitter account posted a please drink responsibly St. Paddy's Day meme that featured Beto's DUI mugshot wearing a leprechaun hat. Bold move by a major party's Twitter account. And it has me wondering if Trump is now in charge of that account.
I wish I could say that this was a dumb move, but Cruz laid out probably the worst defense against Beto anyone. So this is bad and dumb.
I mean, it is.
He's in Texas.
But
he's also in Texas.
Like Wes said on the Power Hour, I think Beto's finished.
It's you also so? A funny yeah. meme, too.
Bernie's
I think,
done.
I think,
can't come back from
I think
this.
Beto needs to just
we'll tweet the meme.
Get off the ticket.
Yeah. In the least revealing investigation of all time, it has been confirmed that the black boxes from both recently crashed Boeing flights show that, yep, the auto nosedive feature is a big problem and probably definitely crashed these planes. Thanks, investigators. The hundreds of pilots telling you that this was a problem from the first time the plane was ever fucking used was also a pretty good confirmation.
You're lucky that they, Will, I'm talking to you. You're lucky that they got rid of these, grounded these planes like a week ago because no chance the red eye from Reno to New York would have a pilot that could do anything about this.
No, yeah. that guy was D-string.
Yeah. You're lucky your pilot OD'd before the flight. That's usually what happens.
He was awaiting testimony, undoubtedly. He was about to go to jail. All right, okay.
All right, so March Madness bracketology season is here. The brackets are out. Get your brackets filled in and submitted. And then think about spending that bracket pool money you know is already yours.
Woo!
And in related news, don't try and rob your bookie at gunpoint like some guy tried to do at the Bellagio in Vegas over the weekend. He robbed cash from a poker cage at gunpoint, tried to carjack someone for the getaway right outside the casino, shot a cop when he got spotted, and then got put down by the cops in front of the casino. So,
oh, he shot a cop. Okay. Yeah. I thought the casino people shot him.
No. I think he got out with the money, and then when he tried to carjack that, a thousand people had called
the
cops.
He was so close.
And so he was just getting shot.
He was so close.
So friendly reminder to pay your bookies, especially March Madness season. And that does it for Hard Factor today. It's the start of another week of the 100 five-star iTunes reviews in exchange for a Friday episode. We're at 1750 reviews as of the time of this taping, so let's push it to 1850 by Thursday afternoon, and we'll have ourselves another Friday show.
Let's do it!
Go get your Unbreakable shirt to support the victims of the New Zealand mosque shooting, and most importantly, have a great fucking day.